Testament scripture this morning is from Isaiah chapter 50, verses 4 through 9, found on page 681 in the Old Testament section of your Pew Bible. The Lord God, this is declarations concerning our Lord. The Lord God has given me the tongue of a teacher, that I may know how to sustain the weary with a word. Morning by morning he wakens my ear to listen as those who are taught. The Lord God has opened my ear, and I was not rebellious. I did not turn backward. I gave my back to those who struck me, and my cheeks to those who pulled out the beard. I did not hide my face from insult and spitting. The Lord God helps me, therefore I have not been disgraced. Therefore I have set my face like flint, and I know that I shall not be put to shame. He who vindicates me is near. Who will contend with me? Let us stand up together. Who are my adversaries? Let them confront me. It is the Lord God who helps me. Who will declare me guilty? All of them will wear out like a garment. The moth will eat them. And then our New Testament scriptures from Philippians 2, verses 5 through 11, found on page 197 in the New Testament section of your Pew Bible. And it's such a blessing to read this, because we see that what was expressed in this session from Isaiah, see what happened as a result of his willingness to do what he did. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not regard equality with God as something to be exploited, but emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness. And being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bend in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Thanks be to God. Hosanna. Oftentimes, we don't give God the honor that he's due. Glory be to God. Hosanna. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna. Lord, let the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart and my mind be acceptable in thy sight, my Lord and my Redeemer. Amen. When you think about the scriptures, the Old Testament first is being fulfilled by Christ Jesus. And if you remember a couple of weeks ago, I mentioned it in Max Lucado's book, which we're doing as a study. He chose the nails. There are something like 330 Old Testament prophecies that were fulfilled in Jesus Christ's life. His purpose was to come and fulfill. The Greek word for that is pleroma. And fulfilling what God had promised, not just in a little bit, not just kind of fulfilling it, but completely fulfilling. Jesus says, I come not to usurp the law, I come to fulfill the law. When Jesus gives the Ten Commandments, he condenses it down when he's challenged to what's the greatest of the commandments. And he says what? Love thy God, thy Father with all thy heart, thy soul, thy mind, and thy strength, and thy neighbor as self. Well, it's interesting that Paul, in his letter to the Philippians, verse 5, it says what? Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. Now, Paul's not saying, I want you to have the same intellect. He's not saying, I want you to have the same intelligence. He's not saying, I want you to have those things that we call intelligence. He's saying to be of the same attitude, to be of the same, in all respects, the love and the grace that Jesus had. Last week, one of the scriptures is out of his reverent obedience. Christ was able to fulfill the prophecies because of his reverent obedience. Well, how many of you have had grandchildren or children, and you've told them to do something? And I know I did this a number of times when Mom told me to do something like take out the garbage or wash the dishes. Oh, okay. Now, is that reverent? No. I did it. I was obedient, but it wasn't with the right attitude. Jesus Christ fulfilled the Father's design for you and for me. And that purpose and the design that Jesus fulfilled was that he went to the cross for you and for me. Now, we know he taught his disciples for 3 years or more. We know that he performed wonderful miracles. We know that he was all of these fulfilling things. The deaf would hear, the dumb would speak, the blind would see, the lame would leap. Thank you, Lord. And the dead would live again. And the sea would be calmed and the winds silented. All of the prophecies that he fulfilled. Can you imagine feeding 5,000 people with a happy meal? Okay, maybe two happy meals. I mean, there were 5 loaves and 2 fish. But imagine what Jesus was able to do in all of those things. And those were not the primary purpose for Jesus coming. He didn't come to tell Lazarus to come out. He didn't come to give the blind man sight. He didn't come to cast the demons out of that man who was insanely crazy and was demon-possessed and chained and hurting himself in a tomb, in a graveyard. He did those things. Yes, he came for those things, but they were not the ultimate mission. And neither was going to the cross his ultimate mission. His ultimate mission was the resurrection. And his ultimate mission is actually the total fulfillment, and that's what? His return. You know, we're looking for that 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. That's the fulfillment of all God's plan. But you don't get the ascension until you have a crucifixion. You don't have the death for sin without that body laying in a tomb. The other translation for let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus is nature. What's the nature of God? We know he was patient. I mean, how many times did he not just tell Peter, Peter, just you're not good enough. You know, I know your heart's in it. You're really trying, but you know, this is just not this. You're not cut out for this job. In the business world, that might have happened. But how does Jesus deal with Peter? Each and every time, he encourages him. Except one. And they're headed to Jerusalem, and Peter says, no, Lord, don't go. And he says, get thee behind me, Satan. And yet, even after he's denied Jesus, Jesus visits him on the beach and says, Peter, do you love me? To be of the same nature of God, which is, he's God in humanity. We know in John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word was God, the Word was with God. Nothing was created without the Word. And then, what? The Word takes on flesh and dwells among us. We need to realize that Jesus went to that cross for you and for me as a human sacrifice. It's a big word, expiation, the full and complete payment. You know, you show up at a store and you've had a bill that's been outstanding for a couple of months, and you come in and you make the last payment. Maybe Dolores has done this for you down at Herd's. And they have this stamp. Paid in full. Your debt is paid in full. Three nails, two for the hands, and one for the feet. Your sin debt is paid in full. That's to be the same mind of Christ. He emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness, and being found in human form. When we think of the word form, any of you ever built a model? And you pull out all these plastic pieces in there on this, and you know, if you lose one piece, it's, oh no! But you put that together, and you have a set of directions, which you will, even if you don't start reading the directions, you'll ultimately get back to the directions, because you'll find, I have this part left and I don't know where it's supposed to go. The model makers are really cruel. They put extra parts in, just so there'll be a couple of extra at the end. But you put it together and assemble it, and you form it. The other thing is raw metal or plastic is poured into a form, and it has the shape. Now, you can pour plastic in a hammer form, shape. But you go to hit the first nail with a plastic hammer, what do you think is going to happen? It's not going to drive that nail in. So you can have the same form, but not the same matter, the same material. Well, Jesus was here as a human. And the word that's used here is not in a form, in the sense that not of the same kind. He was truly, completely, wholly human. He bled. He died. He had compassion on people. He loved people. The shortest verse in the scriptures. Anybody know it? Jesus wept. Where is he? Outside Lazarus' tomb. Doesn't that show you his character? He could have gotten there. He could have gotten there earlier to have prevented him from dying. He could have, just like he did for the centurion. The centurion comes to him and says, "You know, Lord, I know a thing about authority, but I've got a servant who I care for dearly, and he's ill and he's sick, and you just give the word, and my servant will be healed." And Jesus looks at all his disciples and everybody else and, wow, if only you guys had this much faith. He could have done that, but he didn't, because he came to fulfill the will of God. In John 6, he's fed the 5,000 and people are coming to him again and again, and they want bread and they want food. And he says, I come not to do my will, I come to do the will of the Father. And the will of the Father is that none given to me by the Father should be lost, that I will raise them up on the last day. He humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. So he's fully human. You and I are to be of the same mind and the same attitude and the same nature and of one accord with God the Father. Why? So that 9, 10, and 11 hold true. Therefore, God also highly exalted him and gave him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow and bend in heaven and earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus is Lord. Don't forget that last phrase. To the glory of God the Father. He came and gave all because it was the will of the Father. He was a man just like you and I. As a 12-year-old, he goes to Jerusalem with his parents. And they leave in a caravan and start looking for him. And he's not there. He's a 12-year-old. He's a boy. He's a human. But they go back and they find him. Where do they find him? In the temple. What excuse does he have? I must be at my Father's work. We've been in Lent for the last 4 weeks. Jesus was in the wilderness for 40 days. Fasting, praying. And when he was super thirsty and super hungry, who shows up? The great tempter. If you are the Son of God, make these rocks become bread. What does Jesus tell him? Man doth not live by bread alone, but by the word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord. In each of those temptations and each of those challenges, Christ responds with Scripture. And after the last, the angels come and comfort him and nourish him at the end of those 40 days. I hope and pray that as you've gone through your Lenten devotions, the meditations, the readings, whether they've been acts of piety or acts of mercy, you know, if you showed up at somebody's house, if you've written a card to somebody who's a shut-in, those are acts of mercy. I hope and pray that you have developed that servant attitude and that servant mentality so that you have gotten into the mind of Christ. Every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Now I'm going to tell you to get your bulletin out, and I want you to write this scripture down. And I want you to check it out and read it. You know, I've quoted it a number of different times. It's Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10. I want you to read 9. Virtually everyone in here can probably recite that. Confess with your lips that Jesus Christ is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. That's 9. Your homework is read verse 10. That's the so that in that one. Be of the mind of Christ. The same mind. That is why he came, so that you and I could be like him for an everlasting life. Shalom. To the glory of God.